The following episode may contain inappropriate material. Listener discretion is advised.
You're listening to the PVD Cast with John Orlando.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another installment of the PVD Cast. I am your humble host and your podcast purveyor, John Orlando, and welcome to episode number 468. I hope all is well with you out there, and thank you very much for checking out this edition of the PVD Cast. And additionally, I'd like to thank all the listeners who checked out my favorite episode that I've ever done. I re-aired it last week. Of course, it was a trip to the Wrestle Legends convention that was held here in Columbus, Ohio in 2018. And as you heard, if you listened to the episode, I was absolutely blown away by the opportunity to talk to some of the great wrestling legends such as One Man Gang, Tito Santana, Tatanka, Cowboy Bob Orton Jr., and Road Warrior Animal. It was an amazing experience, and I'm glad that I got a chance to share it with you. And as I said, I've shared it a couple other times in the past, but after about 240 episodes, I thought it needed to see the light of day real quick, especially for all the new listeners who have been checking out the PVD Cast since that time. All right, well, let me introduce my two guests for this episode, both of which are no strangers to the PVD Cast. In fact, one, Justin Corleone, is, of course, the great producer for Matt Talk, My Sister podcast. And, of course, Justin is also a member of the Three Geeks podcast. Justin is a great dude to chat with, especially when it comes to sports, movies, geek things. And I'm glad that he had a little bit of time to sit down and chat with myself and with the other guest that I have on this edition, George G3. Of course, George G3 is the man behind the Dueling Aces podcast, which is a sports podcast, and haven't had George on since, I want to say, like July of 2024, I believe. And so I got those two guys together with me to do something a little bit different. We're going to talk about sports, but we're going to talk about specific sports events. I pitched to these two gentlemen that we should probably come up with a top three list of holy cow, unbelievable, miraculous moments in sports that we witnessed firsthand. Either we saw it live as it happened in the stadium or the arena or the venue, or we watched it on TV or listened to it on the radio or whatever. Basically, it's got to be something that we experienced. And so, as I used as an example, I can't say, oh, the 1980 Miracle on Ice team, that was a great moment that I witnessed, because I didn't witness it. I mean, I witnessed it on videotape, you might as well say. I didn't actually watch it live or actually be there in New York for when that event happened. And by the way, I was only 5 years old at the time, so my hockey fandom had not started yet. But you get the gist of it. So we're going to be talking about our top three crazy moments in sports that we witnessed. And before we get to that, I have to thank real quickly a great sponsor of the PVD Cast, that being, of course, World's Greatest Comics. They're located at 5974 Westerville Road in Westerville, Ohio, and they have tons of comics from every era. They also have graphic novels, toys, comic book supplies, single issues, various collectibles, hundreds upon hundreds of back issues, some cool stuff behind the counter as well. If you're in Central Ohio, you owe it to yourself to stop by the store. But you can also check out the store online. WGComics.com is a web address, and they're very active on their Facebook page. Just search for @WGComics. All right, ladies and gentlemen, with that taken care of, I'm not going to waste any more time. I'm going to throw it to a quick break, and on the other side of the break, you're going to hear Justin, George, and myself talk about our memorable moments in sports. right, ladies and gentlemen, tonight I'm being joined by two guests. The first one is the man that's behind the Dueling Aces podcast, a friend of the show, George G3. How you doing?
Good, John. How you doing?
I'm doing all right. I'm doing all right. Can't complain. And of course, one of the great producers in the world of podcasting, because he's the producer of Matt Talk. Of course, I'm talking about Justin from the Three Geeks podcast. Justin, how you doing, man?
Doing well, doing well. I'm certainly one of the producers of a podcast in existence. I can say that with very confidence, strong confidence.
Well, you don't know. The ratings haven't come out. Maybe you jumped
it's
up
true.
On the...
It's true.
You don't know. You know. Yeah. You know. But... All right, let's clue. I'm going to clue people into what we're doing here tonight. Tonight, we're going to talk sports. Haven't done that in a while on the PVD cast. So I thought tonight we could sit down and talk some sports. And I had this great thought in my head when thinking about great sports moments. And so I pitched it to George and Justin. Can we talk about our top three most outrageous, holy crap moment that we witnessed in sports? And kind of the catch is it had to be something that we witnessed either live or watching it on TV or listening to it on the radio. It couldn't be something like the example I gave George and Justin folks were, you know, the 1980 Miracle on Ice. I would love to say that's a great holy cow moment, but I was 5 years old, so I didn't see it when it first aired. So we have to go with something that we witnessed. And so we'll go with, we'll just go kind of go round and round. I'll start with Justin and we'll go to George and we'll end with me and we'll do three rounds if that works for you guys.
Sure.
Go ahead, Justin, and start us off with your, we'll start with number three and work to number one, obviously. So,
and mine are like, my whole list is kind of closer to home, I think. So like stuff that was like important at the time or like was super kind of cool. So mine goes back to my mom is a Colts fan. My dad's a Bears fan. So that Super Bowl, when the Colts and the Bears were playing, was a big deal in my house. And watching Devin Hester return that kickoff was one of the most electric moments of anything I've seen just ever. That dude was a madman. It was such a fun thing to watch him. Like, he had been doing it all year if you follow the Bears. And like just to see him do it in the biggest stage was a really cool thing to see.
What year was that Super Bowl?
Was it 2008? I think 2008, 2009, maybe. I have to double check the exact years, yeah. But like, because I know like 2013, the Colts lost to the Saints, I think. So it's like it's a couple years before that, right?
But, okay.
Yeah.
Because they won, the Colts won that one, but they lost to the Saints a couple of years later. I'll have to double check, but I don't remember the year. But I remember that kickoff because that was a thing of beauty.
Yeah. 06. That was the 06 season. It was February 4th, 2007.
Okay. Yeah.
It was awesome.
So that also would have been Urlacher too, right? For the Bears.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So that's the era we're looking at. All right.
Cool. Yeah. It was super cool to watch. It was, I remember how pissed my mom was because she was a Colts fan and she thought the game was over. My dad was like, no, the Bears will still screw it up. And they did. But
no lying there.
Yeah. It was a good memory.
Yeah, you know what? That's cool that your folks were so passionate about their respective teams, and I'm sure there was grief given all season long, no matter the record of the Bears or the Colts.
100%. When it got closer to the end, they both went to separate parts of the house because they couldn't deal with each other. But it was funny.
Oh, that's great.
All right, George, how about you for number three?
When we talked about this and you mentioned, you know, that you had you mentioned about witnessing. So all three of mine, I was actually in attendance for all three of mine.
Oh, okay.
At the time, I was living up in Michigan. And my number three to kick things off and my feet. I think that's probably why I have some feet issues, though, because I stand a lot, you know, doing all the sports stuff. But witnessing Roger Clemens' last game against Detroit.
Oh.
And it was a 17-inning game.
Oh, wow.
And we were standing room only tickets.
Oh, no.
The Tigers came back and got two runs in the seventh to tie it up. And then we didn't see another run for 10 innings. And the Yankees got two and the Tigers got one and couldn't pull it off for the comeback. It was a long game, but I mean, for standing room only tickets at $40 a pop, and my buddy Paul and I stood there, and about the 11th inning, we're like, oh, our feet are going to hate us tomorrow, but this is well worth the $40. I said, absolutely. And then when it got into 15, 16, 17 innings, we're just like, it was so well worth the $40.
Decide to sit down out on the
pit? We couldn't. The stadium was sold out, and it was literally wall to wall. You in the standing room only sector that they had us around the stadium.
Oh, so we were in a designated area then?
Yeah, up against a wall. Yes, we were in a designated whole area. It was, when they say it's standing room only, they weren't kidding. Every seat was sold out because this was the last game that Clemens would be in Detroit to pitch for his career. And it sold out quickly. In fact, my buddy Paul, when he got the standing room only tickets, he was like, you ready to go? And I went, go where? He goes, we're going to go see Clemens pitch. I'm going, whose car are we taking? He goes, I got the tickets, you drive. I said, okay.
See, I was mistaken because we have the Columbus Clippers here in Columbus, and their standing room only is you can stand outside and watch through like the gate. So that's why I was thinking that. I didn't realize until you mentioned that the stadium actually had a standing room only section. That makes sense. Then why you didn't sit down, because you can't.
Couldn't. Yep. We were up against a brick wall, and it was, I think, section 106. And it was like it was the brick wall where there was the aisleway for, you know, walking around the stadium. And that's where they had us all.
Wow.
That's awesome. And that's where we stood. We went and grabbed a couple of dogs. Came back, we had our drinks with us, and we stood for 17 innings.
Wow.
That's a lot.
How did you walk back to the car?
Very carefully. Very carefully. The neat thing is, and I'm not gonna spoil it, but there is a really cool parking garage that is the world's Detroit's best kept secret. If you know, you know. But we didn't have far to go to get to the car.
Funny you mentioned that, George, because my only trip to Detroit was for WrestleMania 23, which would have been, I think, 2007. And the story goes that we parked, oh God, like 8 or 9 or 10 blocks from Ford Field in this little parking lot. And we get out of the event and everybody, you know how Detroit's all one-way streets, you know?
Yep.
And we go to the parking lot and we're like one of the last cars to leave. And a guy comes over, the guy that was the attendant. He goes, hey, I see your plates. You're from Ohio, huh? And I'm like, yeah. And he's like, follow me. I'll get you out of here. I'm like, okay. And so he went, he got out, he made a short right and then made a left and went like up the next street. And my buddy Adam's like, are you trusting this dude? I'm like, hey man, just look, whatever happens, happens. This guy's kind enough. We'll roll the dice. We'll see. And he took us all the way up over to where the old Tiger Stadium is.
Yep.
Where there's no traffic because it's like 6 or 7 blocks up. But it was the crappiest neighborhood.
Yes, of course it is. Yep. But you were in and out of that traffic in a heartbeat.
Oh, yeah, because the exit for 75 was right there. Like, yep. I'm like, oh, and I was like, I don't know why that dude was thought he'd help us out. But wherever that dude is, thank you. He saved us sitting in traffic for 9 hours. So, you know. But yeah, Detroit traffic sucks.
Oh, yes, I know. I know all too well. I know all too well. Every single day, Monday through Friday, I know all too well. But no, that's, and like I said, this is my number three. So,
oh, yeah.
But I know, it's just like, man, are you sure about it? Yes, this is just my number three. But that, I tell you what, yes, I still remember my ankles hurting, but my God, what a great game to witness. Clemens, I think he went 7, and the Detroit pitcher only made it about 6. Well, they both were giving up 6 and 7 runs apiece. So it was a really good close game the whole time. It was a great base. It's the way you want baseball games. And it was 10-9 Yankees winning that thing. So it was a great game to absolutely watch. It was great. Mm-hmm. Totally cool.
My number three is when Al Bundy scored 4 touchdowns for Polk High. No, I'm kidding. Yeah, I had to fit that in.
Would have been, I think we all witnessed that one.
I watched an episode, like, because over the air, you know, those different antenna stations, somebody has Married with Children on, and I just watched an episode the other day, and I'm like, the reason why I watched it was I flipped through the channels, and Anthrax was the guest star, and I'm like, I kind of remember this episode, and it's where, like, there's a giant snowstorm, and Bud and Kelly win an opportunity for Anthrax to come to their house and play a concert. Well, since it snowed, nobody showed up except for just Kelly and Bud, and it was pretty funny. I enjoyed it. It was very comical and makes me nostalgic for the good old days, if you will,
of Anthrax. Of Anthrax.
No, my number three is a game that I obviously watched on television. I was not there live in person, but it is, of course, as the NBA likes to call it, the shot. Michael Jordan destroying the hopes and dreams of all the Cleveland Cavaliers fans in the first round of the NBA playoffs in 1989. I remember it vividly. I'm not going to lie. I know this is going to make George upset, but kind of was a little bit happy that Jordan shot that shot and won the game. And that's just basically because the Cavs were all that back in the late 80s. And there were some gentlemen that I went to high school with that I did not much care for that were huge Cavs fans. So the fact that I could snicker at their expense made me a happy man. That's all I'll say. But that is one, though, that, I mean.
John's being petty.
Little
get
bit.
Him, Justin. Get him.
But no, I remember watching it and just the athleticism that MJ displayed on that shot, and just, I mean, overall.
Oh, it's incredible. Yeah.
Overall, just the impact that it made on the league. That's one that I vividly remember.
And one of the coolest photos, right? I'm pretty sure there's a sweet photo of it too, right? Like, yeah.
Yeah, there is. There's a pretty sweet photo of it. So that's my number three. So, Justin, how about your second one?
My number two. I thought about this a little bit. I was trying to remember, like, I went back to the Olympics for some reason. I was like, what was one of my favorite Olympic memories? And my was that Phelps relay race when we beat the French, when it was, like, down to the wire. Do you remember that at all? That was a big deal for me. That watching them, like, it was to get Phelps his eighth gold medal of the Olympics. Okay. And, like, that relay race, the French were the premier team. We weren't going to beat them. And watching Michael Phelps watch his teammate win the race was super cool, because everyone was talking about Phelps, but it wasn't really Phelps that did it. It was the dude that had a Herculean effort on that last run to, like, finally make it. And I'm spacing on his name. What was his name? I had the video. Was it Jason Lezak? Lezak? Either way, it was awesome.
That sounds familiar, the Lezak name. I don't know why.
I mean, he won that relay race for him. He was the last guy to hit the wall with it. But yeah, it was pretty dope. I remember that distinctly. That and shout out to Usain Bolt. I was trying to throw him in here too, because watching him do some crazy stuff running.
George?
Well, I'm going to put it back on the Cavs. Because there's a young LeBron James, game 5, 2007 playoffs in Detroit. And I actually, at the time, was in between a few jobs. So I worked at the Palace of Auburn Hills for the company. And unfortunately, that night I was not working, but a buddy of mine turned around and called me up mid-afternoon, and he says, "What are you doing tonight?" And I said, "Nothing." He goes, "You want to go to the ball game?" And I was like, okay, but aren't the Tigers in Cleveland?" And he goes, "Yeah." He goes, "That's not the ball game I'm talking about." And I went, "Oh, okay." So he arrives to my house in full on Pistons gear. And of course, I'm in full on Cavs gear with my LeBron jersey and my shorts. And he walked in the door. He goes, damn, I forgot you were a Cleveland guy. He goes, you know, you're on your own when you get there, right? I think I'm going to be just fine. And he goes, okay, if you say so. So when we pulled in, he didn't even understand that because I was an employee, I showed him where to park around for the employee lot. And I turned around and we pulled up to the certain gate and I turned around and I showed him my badge and they went, all right, G, pull right on in over here. And my buddy's like, oh, we getting special treatment? I said, yeah, I work here. He was like, oh, you're going to be just fine. I said, yeah, we're also going in that entrance over there. Got him in past the crowds, everything. It was pretty cool. That was the double overtime game, by the way, that LeBron decided to drop 25 all over the Pistons and just take control of the game. And it was amazing to see. And a few other Detroit fans were like, gotta respect that kid, man. That kid is going to be something else. They said he is going to be something else. And I was just like, yes, he is. And my buddy Lance, I could never thank him enough for, you know, taking me to that, asking me to go to that game. That was awesome to see. It was phenomenal. We were in the nosebleeds, but hey, I can say and even tell my kid, I got to see LeBron James play and dominate.
So this reminds me of another like personal story. I had a good friend of mine that I lived with, my first roommate. He ended up getting a job in Philadelphia, and he thought he'd be Mr. Cocky and wear his Pens jersey to the game. That was the worst mistake he ever made in his life, because those fans harassed him so bad, threw shit at him.
Oh, like, that's too much.
Oh yeah, like beers, hot dogs. The security came over and like reprimanded the entire section. It was like, if you don't leave these two gentlemen alone, I'm gonna clear out this section. Do you understand me? And they were boo. It's like, no, I'm dead serious. Like the cop was dead serious. He's like, leave these two alone. You've done enough. Enough. And then I was like, Pete, what were you thinking, dude? Seriously, like, come on, it's Philadelphia fans. Yeah. They're bonkers. They're not known to be.
Detroit's no better. Yeah. Detroit's no better. I wore my Colorado Avalanche jersey into Joe Louis Arena.
Oh.
We were in the suites. Thank God. But when we were leaving, I was jumped in front of two cops, by the way.
Oh, geez.
I was jumped from behind. The Patrick Waugh jersey that I was wearing was totally ripped off of me.
Oh, geez.
In multiple pieces. I had strangulation marks from the ripping of the jersey as it was coming off. These three guys literally tore it off of me. I was, of course, wearing a turtleneck shirt underneath, but they ripped it right off of me, and the cops had to they tackled two of the guys only after the fact, but they tackled the two of the three guys they got and had to go to court and all that jazz. But, you know, no, Detroit drunk fans are just as bad.
Okay.
But, you know, I was pretty much about almost out the door, too. I was pretty much free sailing because the Avalanche manhandled them 7-1. So I was like, hey, you got your butts whooped. You've whooped their butts. Now today was backlash. But yeah, no, it was Detroit fans are, you know, can be just as bad. The drunk ones, especially.
I'm proud to say, as a hockey fan, I got to attend a game at the Joe before it closed. That final year, my buddy and I went up with a couple of his, like his dad and a couple friends of his and a brother, and we all went and had a great time. And it was really cool to see the Joe, and also kind of interesting because I found the restrooms for the Joe were very tiny. They were super tiny. I know this building was built like in the 40s, but for crying out loud, you know?
Yep, you've been to the Joe.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, God.
Well, needless to say, the Caesars Arena, they're a little bit larger.
I would hope so. All right, my second pick. Justin, I think you're going to identify with this one. I think you're going to like this one.
Sweet.
Again, another one that I watched at home. It was the 1995 AFC Championship game. The Pittsburgh Steelers was the Indianapolis Colts.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, this is the infamous Hail Mary. Jim Harbaugh throws. It gets to the end zone. It's bobbled a couple times.
A Colts player falls down, the ball lands on him, rolls off. It was all a big production there. The pass is ruled incomplete. Steelers win 20-16 and go on to get manhandled by the Dallas Cowboys, but in the Super Bowl. But anyways, I remember watching that. And I remember like being on the edge of my seat, especially in that last 2 minutes the drive was going with Harbaugh. I was like, come on, please, please, please don't blow this, Pittsburgh.
Are you a Steelers fan? I never really have ever asked you that.
I am. I'm a Steelers. I grew up outside of Pittsburgh, so
no judgment. Teams. Yeah.
Except for I'm just not a Pirates fan because they don't win. They do what is right in terms of like keeping the bottom line, you know, keeping it profitable, keeping the team profitable. Mm-hmm. They do a great job of that because they get young talent, they foster them. When that talent wants a big $6 million deal, they get rid of them and they bring in the next young guy. That's great economically, but as a sports fan, it's frustrating. So, you know, and also too, I don't like watching baseball on TV. I want to go. I don't like watching it on TV. It just, to me, it's bland. I want to be there and see the sights, the smells, the overall feel of the game, the vibe that's going on. I'd much rather do that than sit and watch a game.
Yeah. Agreed. I went to a PGA golf tournament. I felt the same way. I can't stand watching golf on television, but I really did enjoy following a couple of the pros around the golf. Like, you know what I mean? Just the course and be like, oh, I'm going to follow Rory around for a while and just see what life's like for him. What a good golfer looks like.
Was that one of the memorials?
Yeah. Yep. I was able to. I volunteered one day, so they gave me a free ticket for the other day.
Oh, that's nice. Cool. That's cool. Nice. All right. Well, Justin, before we get to your number one here, I'm going to interrupt for a moment and tell everybody that's listening to this podcast about my great sponsor, World's Greatest Comics. They are your one-stop shop for all your comic book related needs. They've got single issues, graphic novels, collections, toys, collectibles, hundreds upon hundreds of back issues, a great pool system, a wonderful staff, a clean store. Basically, I'm telling you, they got what you need. And if they don't have it, they'll get it for you. So you need to stop by the store if you're in Central Ohio. They're located at 5974 Westerville Road in Westerville, Ohio. Or if you're out of town, you could still check them out online. Their website is wgcomics.com, and they're very active on the Facebook page. Just check out at WG Comics. And as I always like to say, thank you so very much for the fine folks at World's Greatest Comics for being a proud sponsor of the PVD cast. All right, that little bit of news out of the way.
I wonder if they've got the Undertaker first issues.
They probably do. I'm serious.
They can find it for you, for sure.
Yeah, I'm sure that they do.
I've got them packed away. I got each of the first number ones packed away over here somewhere. I'm not a big comic book guy, but when WWE was releasing those back in the late 90s, I've got the two number one editions.
Do you have the Ultimate Warrior comic book?
No, I do not.
I
wasn't much of a Warrior fan.
Oh, dude, it's terrible. It's an absolutely awful comic book. It's bad. It's bad, Justin.
Why'd you want him to have it then?
Oh, he's just wanting to compare notes.
That's it.
I never actually even opened the creases to these two Undertaker ones. They were right out of the box, and the guy goes, "You want to open it?" I was like, "Nope." I was like, "Just slide it right into the sleeves, right into the backing, and boom!" I sealed them, and they've been tucked away ever since. Never even pulled open the cover.
Wow!
Never even pulled open the cover.
Mint condition taker.
Yeah, MINT taker. Yeah.
I think the only two comics that I have that are still sealed is I still have a copy of Death of Superman sealed. Nice. That came in the bag. And then there was this Marvel did this weird hip hop comic called Break the Chain. And it was also sealed because it came with a cassette single of the song that was in the comic. And I'm like, oh, yeah. So I still have that. Now, I don't think I have a tape player, so I couldn't open it now because
is it worth money? I feel like that like so is so unique. I wonder if that's worth money.
Yeah, I'm not touching it. I'm leaving yeah. it sealed up. So
yeah, but. Bryce doesn't even know about them, and I was like, one day he'll just turn around and open up the box and go, oh.
All right, Justin, how about your number one memorable moment that you witnessed in the world of sports?
Sure. This one, so I went to Indiana University for college, so I went to a lot of basketball games, and my favorite memory of that was something that made ESPN's, like, it made a commercial for ESPN. It was the Watt shot. It was Christian Watford beating number one Kentucky at the buzzer. It made a commercial. I was there. I was there for students. You get a lottery system for where you sit in the tickets. It's not like a section. You get spread out across the thing. I was 12 rows up. Had I wanted to sell them, I could have sold them for a couple $1,000s, I think. Like, it was that hot of a ticket. Like, it was a big deal. And we rushed the court, and I'm helping kids just get to the center state. Like, it was just a whole thing. Like, we beat Anthony. That was the Anthony Davis team for Kentucky. It was a lot of fun. It was a really fun memory. And Indiana went nuts. The whole town went crazy. It's like you popped a cork off of a bottle of champagne for a bunch of people. It was a cool spot.
Cool.
It was a cool memory.
All right, George.
Yeah, those are the goosebump hair raising ones. That's awesome. Yeah, back in 2016, you know, the Cavs turned around and won their championship. But 1 week prior to that, there was a different Cleveland team that actually won the first Cleveland championship of 2016. That was the Lake Erie Monsters. And that was the Calder Cup playoffs against the Hershey Bears. And it was overtime. And I remember Bryce was about 4 or 5, I think, at the time. And we had gotten tickets. It was myself, Kelly, Bryce, and another friend of ours, Devin. And we went, and I remember Bryce, after the third quarter was over, I told him, well, we've got overtime. And he goes, Dad, when will this be over? I says, well, it's game 6. I said, so if we score and we win, I said, this place will be so loud, you're not going to be able to hear me. I says, if we lose, I said, there's going to be a lot of ticked off people that have to come back tomorrow to see if we win this thing. And with just under 2 seconds left in the overtime period, Cleveland scores. And the place, I still remember, it was deafening. It was the most deafening thing ever. And it was like that arena was sold out from top to bottom, just as if it was a Cavs playoff game, and you couldn't hear yourself even think almost. It was so loud, and it was like people were just so elated, like, wow, this is what it feels like to finally win a championship in this town. And I said, my God, if the Indians or Browns or the Cavs did this, this place would go nuts.
Right, yeah.
And then it happened a week later and they got buried, and thank God the Cavs were cool enough to include them in the parade. I thought that was super cool. And when you go to the queue, you will see the 2016 NBA trophy, and right next to it in the same case is the Calder Cup from 2016.
Well, that's fun.
Yeah. And then the following year, didn't the Monsters lose their coach to Colorado? Jared Bednar led that team. Yeah.
Because they were the Colorado Avalanche farm team at the time.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep. Absolutely. Yeah. I remember that. Yeah. They weren't the Blue Jackets affiliate. Because the Blue Jackets.
Not yet like they are today.
Right. Right. You know? I forget. I think the Jackets had Syracuse, if I'm not mistaken.
It was somebody. Yeah.
It's weird how they do that with, like, it's different regions rather than the home state type of deal.
Well, you know what's even weirder? The San Jose Sharks, their AHL, their minor league team, plays in the same arena.
Yep.
Like the SAP Center, which I'm like, when they started doing that, I'm like, that's weird. That's got to be a scheduling nightmare.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know? So.
But like I said, that was like, that is the super coolest thing ever. And to be able to share it with Bryce too, I was just like, this is like, seriously, this is the coolest thing ever, you know? And he was having a total blast that day. That's for sure. So when we left, he was like just as happy as anybody else. We're just like, heck yeah. And then, of course, you know, LeBron and them are like, oh, okay, we got to top that. You all can thank me because after game three, I never watched the 2016 playoffs because I always had that superstition that if I watched it, they would lose and they were getting their butts creamed. So I decided not to watch the last four games. And ironically, I still haven't seen the last four games. I still haven't watched them. I know it's safe to watch them now, but I still haven't watched them. But I tell everybody, you can thank me later.
Well, my number one is the Pittsburgh Penguins Stanley Cup win over the Detroit Red Wings in 2009. Oh. I say that because, you know, the Pens and the Red Wings, 08, they had the finals. And I had some doubts because it's very hard in the NHL to go back-to-back. So the fact that the Red Wings beat the Pens in 08 and they met in the finals of 09, I wasn't feeling very confident, I'll be honest. But, Marc-Andre Fleury played an outstanding game, as did Crosby, Malkin, the third line as well, chipped in. And it was a shock for me that they won. And I remember watching that final game and just the chaos at the end of that game, the attempt to try to get one more goal over Fleury and the scramble in front of the net and then the victory. To me, again, watched it on TV, but it shocked me that we had won. And, just that was one of the cups that Crosby and Malkin and Letang would help the team win over the next couple of years. So yeah, that's my most memorable sports event.
It's a dope memory. Yeah, it's a big one.
Yeah. Although I did have an honorable mention, I'll throw it out there. And there's a reason why I didn't throw it in. Another one of my memories from watching football on television was I watched The Choke, which of course is the 1993 playoff game where the Houston Oilers were up, I think, like 35-0 over the Bills, and the Bills came back to win 41-38. I remember it because I was watching it. I was so disgusted with it that I remember my mom and dad came and said, hey, we're going to the mall to get whatever. Do you want to go? And I'm like, yeah, this game stinks. Of course, I'm going to go. I go. I remember we're in Sears. I walk past the electronics. I look at the score, and it's like, I don't know, like 28-3. And I'm like, oh, okay, well, it's not getting any better. Of everything I can remember about sports, I remember walking in my house, turning on the TV, and hearing the commentator go, if you're just joining us, you're missing the most incredible turnaround in NFL history. And I'm like, son of a bitch. Damn it.
I remember that. My mom, I was saying the same thing. I'm like, well, this game just got boring as could be. And my mom said, how much time is left on the clock? And I was like, a whole half. She's like, exactly. She said, the game is not over until that clock hits zeros and the whistle blows. I'm like, yeah, yeah, whatever. And I had to sit there and I watched this comeback and I'm sitting there going, this really can't be happening. And my mom comes back in and goes, how's it going? I went, they're starting to creep. She goes, I told you. I was like, yeah, but it can't last that long. And then all of a sudden it was like, we're watching this game. And she goes, see, there you go. And I was like, okay. So rule of thumb that I'm passing down to Bryce, you stay for the whole game. Because my honorable mentions were the swift kick in the nuts that the Browns literally choked 3 weeks in a row of losing football games back to back to back in the last 2 minutes of every single game for 3 weeks in a row. And in the Bears game, we were up by 3 touchdowns. And the Bears came back and won in under 2 minutes. And I went, I just cannot believe this is happening. This just sucks. So I know how you feel, John.
Justin, do you have any honorable mentions?
Oh, I have a few. I have, and most of them are football related. The catch from the Giants for the Patriots to stop the undefeated Patriots team, that catch where it goes like he just suctions it to his helmet. That was the most incredible catch I've ever seen probably in my whole life. Just And because I didn't know him, I don't follow the Giants. He just was a no-name wide receiver in said Super Bowl to me. But he caught that son of a gun and kept their drive alive. And I don't know. I was so thankful that they were going to beat the Patriots and not have an undefeated season, because I'm very happy that the Dolphins have that. I'm not a Dolphins fan. I just, everything in me does not want the Patriots to have that record.
I don't want anybody to match it. I hope that goes on for a long time to come.
Me too.
I don't want anybody to match it. That's something special I think should just totally be designated for them. I mean, especially at the rate on how many games there are now.
Yeah.
To be able to say, hey, this is where the cutoff is.
I think my only other one was, and again, it's against the Patriots, but like, I don't know if you remember that whole rivalry between Peyton and Brady and like the Colts and the Patriots, but for the longest time, they couldn't get past that AFC Championship game. They always meet and Peyton would lose. And finally, they get off that hump, and like, it's like everything changed. You know what I mean? Like, it was a breath of fresh air, and it was a pretty dope, it was a really fun game to watch. Because he had the ball with like a minute left, wherever, and then you thought, like, oh, we're screwed. And he gets picked off, and like, you just, Colts player laying on the ground, just holding the ball. Like, oh, it was a good memory.
That's a good one. I remember that one.
All right. Well, George, let's talk a little bit about Dueling Aces. You got a show coming up here pretty soon, if it's not already out by the time that this episode drops. So you want to tell us a little bit about that episode and maybe some future episodes that are coming down the pike?
Well, ironically, at the moment, we had a little bit of hurt there, you know, between the guys, Dave's wife doing a few things, Bruiser having family stuff happen, and myself with some scheduling stuff too, and working back and forth. We were off for a couple of weeks, which was totally unexpected, but we just had our episode last night, usually on Mondays, and with an upcoming next week, getting things pretty much ready for as the NFL officially kicks off its 2025 season, that the floodgates will be opened already, because the Debo Samuel trades, Saquon Barkley gets extended. I mean, everything officially, the offices are open and so are the pocketbooks. And there will be a lot of pieces moving around before the draft happens. So we'll be covering that. I'm also producing now a couple of friends on Wednesday nights. Their show is their sports podcast. They're going about every 2 weeks now since the NFL is on hiatus. They're now rolling every 2 weeks. Their podcast is called Talking About Balls, which is a very fitting title for these two guys. But Justin and Kyle are two really cool dudes. They have an absolute blast. They're on from 7 to 9 on, they're on Facebook. Check them out. I am in the background producing their show for them, as I've come up with some new intros and such. And a friend of mine, Sam, is with 609 Sports, and I've done a couple of neat intros and backdrops for him lately. It's kind of almost been my new thing, is to not only do my own podcast's intros and outros, but helping a few friends along the way too. So I'm really enjoying that work right now, and you know, expanding my own thing for design work as well for folks, and even for photos. So I'm having a pretty cool time doing that, you know, at the moment. But I definitely, every Monday night, pretty much right now, roughly 8:30 to 9-ish is when we get our start. And we'll be on for about an hour and a half to 90 minutes. Myself, Bruiser, Zolt, and Adam, when he gets his schedule kind of back into play, I know he'll be back on joining us, as well as a couple of our other guys who are, when they're not in bowling season or how their work schedules pan out. I mean, we've got a nice rotation of folks. So it's a lot of fun. And we just kick back, relax, and talk about sports kind of just like this.
Where can folks catch you? You said Facebook, but do you have any other social media that you'd like to plug real quick?
We're on YouTube as well, and ironically, Twitch. I know that's kind of another big thing with the kiddos these days. But as Bryce says, hey, you don't have any aura. Yes, I do. We're on Twitch. We've got aura. We've got res. I'm like, come on. Give me a break. You know, you don't think I'm keeping up with you guys and your lingo and everything else? Come on. I'm on social media more than you are. He sits there and goes, whatever, Dad. It's nice to have a 14-year-old. I'm telling you, it's hilarious.
Yeah.
It is hysterical. I'm having a lot of fun with him. But no, and especially since Facebook now is deleting off any live shows after 30 days. Oh, my gosh. That's a new surprise starting this year. So It's like anything to backtrack to previous shows, definitely check out the YouTube channel and the YouTube page, because Facebook apparently is going to start anything after 30 days. It's going bye-bye automatically.
Yep. So I think it starts at the end of April. They're starting out at the end of April, I think, somewhere. So
yeah. Are they trying to save storage or what? Is it the main thing? Is it just
too much money? I think so. When they turn around and put on the reels, you know, trying to compete with TikTok, I'm sure it's building up big. Yeah.
It's about money too. I bet 10-1 you could get those videos back if you pay a service fee. Mm-hmm. So that's just the conspiracy theory in me, if you will.
No,
you'll find out sooner or later.
That's right.
Say, you will find out probably very in depth. We know you are the man who finds out about those things, John.
All right, Justin, let's find out about Three Geeks Podcast. What's coming down the pike for you guys? What do you got going on?
Sure. Yeah, you'll catch us every Saturday at 7 p.m. Eastern. Please join us. You can find us on Twitter. You can find us on, I think, Twitch still, Instagram, and Facebook and YouTube. So literally every platform, you probably can find Three Geeks. If you need a fresh up-to-date list of our socials, go to 3geeks.com. We have a new website there. It's not .ninja anymore, RIP. And that's about it. We have a couple conventions we're going to go to coming up, and that schedule will be posted sooner than later. And hopefully we see people there.
Cool. All right. Well, gentlemen, it's been fun. Thanks a lot for coming on. Appreciate it.
Yeah, it's pretty dope.
Thanks for having us.
All right.
Surprise wrestling didn't make your list. Sorry, I'm interrupting your agenda.
well, because wrestling is, quote, sports entertainment.
Oh.
Sports in the name.
Oh, it still says sports in it. Come on.
Yeah, I was waiting. I was itching to give you so much shit, and like you didn't do any wrestling. I was like, oh.
I actually went to one of the TNA pay-per-views when it was in Plymouth, Michigan, in one of the little small area places, and I saw CM Punk and Kurt Angle actually go at it from only nine rows out. I was like, that was pretty cool.
I mean, plus, Justin, you don't really want to open that can of worms, because much like George, I've watched millions of hours of wrestling, so that would be hard for me to narrow down, because there's so.
I was literally waiting for you to have like. The first time I saw Undertaker, the first time I saw The Rock, then hang up.
What's the closest you've gone to a live show, John? What's the closest you've been?
That's a great question, George. There's been a couple that I managed to get in through the back door and got really nice seats.
Yes,
but those are predominantly more on indie shows.
But that's still cool. That's still cool, though.
I'd have to say it's either. I think I was when I was young, 87. I think that my brother, my sister-in-law, my nephews, and I were about 10 rows back on the floor at Pittsburgh Civic Arena. And then I'd say tied for that would be. 1997 ECW November to Remember. We were 11 or 12 seats rows back as well. Yeah, I can't think of nothing pops in my head of like, I think I would have remembered if I was like ringside or whatnot, but I've never been ringside. So
11 or 12 rows of ECW, you are ringside.
Yeah, I know.
If you're on the floor, you're ringside.
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. So
four rows are like a splash zone at SeaWorld. You're good.
Oh yeah. It was. It was. It was. Man, the time. I kind of was like people that follow the Grateful Dead. My buddies and I would follow ECW around. Like if they came anywhere close to us, we were going because it was just such a great wrestling mixed with the freak show, mixed with the sex and violence. It was kind of a hodgepodge of things, you know.
Everything a young man wants, right? Like that's just like checking a lot of boxes for the youth.
Yeah, for every massive hardcore match, there was always a really good technical match. You know, I mean, so many of those are on my top five wrestler or top 10 list of wrestling matches that I've seen. So, but anyways, well, maybe that'll be another time that we could sit and discuss. So, but with that, I'm going to get on out of here. So thank you guys once again. I'm going to close up shop. So with that, I'm going to throw it to a quick break. And on the other side of the break, I'll be back to wrap up the episode. Well, there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. George, Justin, and I talking about the craziest sports moments that we ever witnessed. And I hope you enjoyed this episode, and I hope you enjoyed our selections. And maybe you want to let me know about your thoughts on your top three moments. Well, you could do that by getting in touch with me through the various different channels, such as dropping me a line over on the Instagram, Threads, or Facebook accounts. Just look for @PVDcast. You could shoot me an email if you want to be old school, johnorlando@pvdcast.com. And I'm still active on Twitter. My personal Twitter handle is @PVDMVP. Maybe you want to let some folks know where they can hear this great podcast. Well, there's a couple different avenues for that as well. First off, PVDcast.com is the online home of yours truly, and probably the best way to get every single episode of the show. But it's also available through all those podcasting outlets, like Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, etc., etc. Just go to your favorite podcasting outlet, go to the search bar, put in PVDcast. Sometimes you have to put my name after it, and you should find it. Now, since we're talking about this podcast outlets, you got to do me a favor. I need you to rate and review. Rating and reviewing helps me out in the algorithm, and it lets those outlets and apps know that you're listening. You don't have to do much. You can just leave me a couple stars or five stars or however many you want to leave. And you can easily just write a short little something, you know, enjoyed the show, top notch, this is a great podcast, whatever you want. Once again, rating and reviewing helps me out tremendously, and I would greatly appreciate it. Hey, and while we're talking about those apps and outlets, don't forget to subscribe so that you never miss an episode of the PVDcast. But alas, there's a third way that you can enjoy each and every single episode. That's on Wednesday nights at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time through the Facebook page, I do a live broadcast. So there you go. You have three ways to catch the PVDcast. Through the website, pvdcast.com. Through, of course, the Facebook page on Wednesday nights at 8 p.m. That, of course, is @PVDcast. And, of course, through your favorite podcasting outlet or app. All right, that being said, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to get on out of here. I want to thank you for checking out the episode, and I will chat at each and every one of you later. Stay righteous, stay independent, and stay safe and healthy. Presentation of John Orlando Enterprises, LLC, copyright 2025.